Hello, divers. Today we're going to be talking about Transference, a psychological thriller adventure game developed by SpectreVision and Ubisoft Montreal and published directly by Ubisoft. It was released in September 18th, 2018, and it was written by Kyle McCalla and Daniel Noah, and it was directed by Benoit Riker. I hope I said those names right. I apologize if I messed it up. Today our guest is Booster Greg, host of the Bad Coyote Funky podcast and also a Twitch streamer. And as recommended, we recommend you play the game before listening, because we're going to dive deep and in the abyss there be spoilers. Without further ado, let's descend into season two, first episode. What?
Sorry, hello. Am I supposed to be talking?
Absolutely. Okay. Come on in. This is the first time I'm trying to do the music and the intro live rather than recording it after the show. So, it's kind of weird, but I like it actually, because it's real, you know?
Sets the mood.
Yeah, it does. And then normally we would talk for a bit before we'd hit record, and we'd miss some really neat kind of moments between me and the guest, I think. So,
yeah
it's kind of cool. But yeah, thanks for coming on the show and for picking such a cool game.
Thank you for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
One of those. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How did you enjoy Transference?
I really, really liked it. I was a little skeptical going in because I heard a lot of negative
things about it. What did you hear? What negative things did you hear?
I heard that it was like pompous and it didn't give you an answer just for the sake of not giving you an answer. And I actually enjoy those kinds of things because it lets your brain go crazy and like make up your own story.
Yeah.
There's like a little bit of breadcrumbs here and there. But
because there was no conclude? Like there was a conclusion, but there wasn't a happy ending.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of people didn't understand it. And I think it was a big VR title.
Yeah.
I didn't play it in VR. I didn't either,
unfortunately. Standard. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's that crowd or what, but every time I tried to look up a little bit about it, the first thing was like, Transference fails to deliver on its promise. And so I was super nervous. Then I started playing it and I was like, okay, like, I can dig this. And I remember I was watching you stream it a little while ago, just for a little bit. And I was like, all right, I'm out of here. I don't want any spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I knew I would like the art style.
Yeah.
And I knew I would like the tone, but the story is what I was cautious about. And for me, it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, same thing for me as well. I feel like there were some moments that I kind of felt were a little lacking, but I think it's just because I don't know if this was this studio's first game or not, actually. I'm going to look it up right now because it's Elijah Wood and one of the writers of the show, right? Daniel Noah is one of the founders of the company as well.
Well, and that's another thing I was kind of excited about is because Elijah Wood, like his lesser known roles and lesser known projects are always like really cool.
Yeah, they're amazing. He's super lovely. I've never met him in real life. That sounded like I know him personally. I'm sorry. If for some fucking reason Elijah Wood ever listens to this episode of the podcast, I'm sorry that it sounded like I knew you. But I enjoy his work, and his lesser known stuff is a lot of fun. So I was really excited to kind of see what the team came up with. And especially because I think they wanted to focus on horror films. And no, I just looked it up. It is not the first game.
Interesting.
Oh, wait. Oh, yes, it is. I'm a liar. They've done some filmography together. I didn't know that. Like the little studio did some films.
That's cool.
But yeah, their first video game was Transference. I thought it was pretty neat. I'd like to start by talking about, for those of you who don't know what Transference is, it's where the feelings and desires and expectation of someone are redirected and applied to another person, sometimes without their knowledge or understanding. Mm-hmm. So with a title like that, I thought that was really cool for it to be a VR game that kind of, it sets you in, it's this horror game, and you immediately, I think, assume that the transference is you to the game, like you into this simulation world, right?
And well, then I think, so there's two different meanings to this, and this is actually my last note, so it's going to be as funny.
Should I wait? Because it is kind of it does hit right to the end. Oh, yeah. But, okay, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we can do it now. I was just
okay. All right.
I was like, oh, it's funny. So I think it has a double meaning for sure. You have like in psychology, what you're talking about, where like one transfers their emotion, desires, expectations, whatever onto another. And that definitely happens in this game, because the way I see it, You are a third party going through this family's memories in a digital format.
Yeah.
Right. I think it also refers to the fact that the father transferred his family into like a computer simulation, essentially, for immortality.
Yeah. I also think that at the very end of the game, when you sit back, the psychological transference has happened, but it's not what you think it is. All of the feelings and emotions that the mother and the son went through, this crazy domestic abuse situation, all of that has now been transferred to you. You feel these things as if you were them. And that's the ultimate transference, right?
Oh, sure.
So yeah. it's super cool that there's that extra layer there that, you know, it happens to you, which I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's like, it's hard for that to not happen to you when you have, when you're going through the different levels, you have the father's level, the mother's level, the kid's level, and they're whispering in your ear.
Oh, and they do that so well. Cause I had the surround sound on and it went from one ear to the other. Oh man, the sound design in this game was next level. It was really, really good. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. There's a lot in this game for me that like, it's very obvious. And there's other stuff where like, I like to really think about things and really like, try to put things in there that may not necessarily mean to be in there.
Oh my goodness. That is literally that is what we do here at the deep dive. So you fit right in. It's fine.
So here is kind of what I thought. Yeah. Like with the father,
tell
right?
me about it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point in my life right now where what he becomes is one of the fears that I might become in some way, shape, or form.
A serial killer?
Not a serial killer.
I'm sorry. It was a joke. All right, go on.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Seriously, actually, though.
Yes, no, a serial killer. It's me getting engrossed in a project to the point where everything around me just melts away and I lose track of time. And that happens too. Like, you know, being a creative individual, you're drawing, you're working on a project.
Yeah.
I'm working on a logo right now and I'm so into it where I just worked on it for 2 hours and I was like, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
I do that too. I should get things going.
Wow. Season 2, episode 1 of the deep dive is just going to dive right in. This is also one of my greatest fears, actually.
Cannonball right in the deep end.
It's that workaholicness. Like I joke about this and I say, oh, I'm a workaholic and you know, whatnot, but it's not a joke. It's a real thing. I will forget to eat. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's like, on the one hand, it's really cool that I can work on things that I absolutely love so much so that I will forget to eat. But I think it's really easy for me to just get engrossed in any project that I kind of really put in front of me and then kind of lose it. Everything else falls away. My friendships and things like that, I worry will take a back seat when I get super obsessed about something, and that's not who I want to be at all.
No. Yeah. So, I don't think anyone wants to be, I think everyone wants to be successful, but no one wants to lose their success in relationships and friendships and reality for the sake of it. But sometimes that's just what happens. Like, and it's, for me, it's the opposite end. It's like you say you forget to eat. Sometimes I just forget to stop eating, where I'll just have snacks and food all around me as I'm going. Before I know it, I'm like, oh, my Cheez-Its are gone. My tortilla chips are gone. The hot dog and the burger.
Oh, that will happen to me too. If I'm foolish enough to set them next to me on the desk, but I don't want it to sound like I'm calling you a fool, but I just know myself well enough that if I put a bag of chips next to me, I will eat the whole thing. For me, it is
foolish. Absolutely. For me, it's like, let's be prepared. I know I'm going to be here for eight hours.
And yeah.
In the first hour.
There's,
I'm like, oh.
There's a good sentiment behind it. You know, like, oh, I just want to prepare. And I'll do that with water though. Oh. I will put an entire liter and then a whole second liter next to me. So when I run out of my water, I just keep drinking it. And it's the only way I will drink the water that I need to drink in a day is if I set it next to my computer while I'm working.
Well, that's a good way to make yourself get out of that.
It's like a life environment, hack.
Right? Because you got to go pee.
Yeah.
Like your body's not going to wait for that.
Yes. That's another good trick. I definitely hadn't planned on that when I was doing the water, but it does make you get up and take a break. And I find when I stand up and I walk away, even for a minute, then I realize how hungry I am or how much my hamstrings hurt or whatever, you know? So it's crazy how engrossed I can get in what I'm doing.
And time just like it melts away, right? And the world doesn't melt away with it. So like I have been right now kind of struggling a little bit to find a good happy medium of time between streaming, podcasting, and spending time with my wife and my dogs and family and all that.
Yeah.
And so it actually, playing this game, I only played it the other day.
Yeah.
Comes at an interesting time because I just had a mild like spat with my wife about like how I'm spending my time.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here playing this game about a father who is just locking himself in a garage, locking himself in the basement and ignoring his kid. His wife is like withering away mentally.
Yeah.
And kind of her talent too withers away as well. So I'm watching all this and I'm just like, Elijah Wood, God damn you. Why are you doing this to me, bud? Why is Spectrevision? Why is this going on?
Yeah.
So for me, it was like that fuller immersion. So when I spawned into this game, I thought I was at first playing the father.
That's just
immediately where my mind went. Maybe it's because he's the intro video.
That is so interesting. I didn't think about that.
I've had a time to think about it and sit down, and I really kind of realized that you're just a random party in this environment, at least in my opinion.
I think they did that to kind of break the fourth wall, but without breaking it. You are that third party. And of course you're a third party going into it, but that is interesting to think that you might be the husband, but except I think he's stuck on there as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And I think he's the shadow person. If it's a
absolutely 100%, because there's hints of domestic abuse in the game as well. Hints. I mean, it's kind of very overt, I found. And I feel like that's kind of the only criticism I would really give the game is that I feel like there were some things that were just too explained, you know, like too in your face about it. Like, okay, we get it. Like I absolutely know that he's the instance that I'm thinking of is when he grabs the son's arm and is insistent that he tell him something.
Well, so that's a matter of perspective though, right? Because that video, that movie, you talk about the home movie,
right? Yeah, the home movie at the birthday party.
That home movie plays in three different point of views.
Yes.
And one of them, he's super abusive.
Yeah.
Other one, he's nothing wrong, right?
Yeah.
And the other one, he's just kind of a drunk.
Yeah, but I mean, either one of those, I feel like it's an unacceptable reaction in either one. Like he's, because if I remember correctly, in one of them he grabs him and is pretty abusive, but he's verbally abusive.
Yeah, you know, he grabbed him, like, just tell me, right? Like he's really into it.
Yeah.
And the one that the father remembers is he doesn't actually say that. The kid says, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I just played this the other day, so I should be able to remember this. The one you're referring to with the mother, he grabs him and wants to know. The kid won't tell him. The one that the kid remembers is the kid says, don't you want to know what I wish for? And the father says, no, it won't come true. And then he's kind of absent. He's taking notes. He's having a drink. And the mother pulls him aside and says, what's wrong with you? He only gets his birthday once. Like, what's your problem? Come on.
Yeah.
And then Ben, who's the kid, Benji, he's just like, come on, guys. And that's it. The one the father remembers is just like the mother goes, oh, what'd you wish for? And the kid goes, oh, I can't tell you. Like, you know, it won't come true. Blah, blah. So there's three different perspectives here. And this is kind of what I like about a little bit of like a armchair psychology and like how people remember things and how it shapes who you are, or like the memory of a house or the memory of the dog or things like that. Because when you hit the light, you jump from a different person's perception of what that home was.
Yeah.
What's funny is that stupid closet on the right is always the stupid closet on the right of the hallway, no matter what. I found that kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. They all hate the closet.
But if you look at like the family's picture, you can tell who you are or whose mind you're in because they're in the forefront, except for the father's, where they're all a big, happy family.
Yeah, because in his perspective, they were. Because he was so engrossed in his work, he didn't even realize what was happening around him.
Right. And I think that happened. I mean, there's a middle ground there. I'm not excusing the father because he murdered his family.
Yeah.
Like he's obviously not well, and he didn't perceive any of this as wrong until it was too late. But it's interesting there. Like, where's the medium? There is no medium. There's three right there. Like, that's what I've been thinking about these past couple of days.
You mean where's the middle ground? And
where's the middle ground?
Doing
exactly.
What you want and still having a happy. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I wrote him off as soon as I found the dog dead or found out that he killed the dog.
Yeah,
I was like, screw you, man.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah. I was uncomfortable because of the different perspectives I think that we saw about him, but only because it seemed like at first it was an okay family. And then as time went on and he got rejected and lost his funding, he just sort of unraveled and then took it out on the family at that point. And uncomfortable. I was also uncomfortable that they're all still trapped there. Like there was no happy ending for the son or the wife because they're still trapped there in this house, this digital house with basically their worst nightmare.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is he wants immortality, but it's an imprisonment of immortality.
Yeah. Okay. Right? So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you do that? Are you a fan of the singularity? Would you make a copy of your consciousness and upload it somewhere and live forever?
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on variables, right?
Yeah.
And what I know variables? There's no guarantee.
This is the part that interests me. So what are your like variables? What would you say?
I don't want to be in a haunted house for the rest of my life.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to be like fragmented like they are.
Okay. Also seems fair.
Preferably no shadow people.
Right.
Right. If it's like, if this ends up being a singularity of what we're in right now.
Oh my God.
I'd be pretty okay with that.
Really?
Like things are, I think for me personally, like worldwide right now, things are just like up. Shit's, oh, can we swear? I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. It's fine. We originally started this podcast trying not to, but it's me. So.
So like, I know the world right now is kind of like up Schitt's Creek, but like me and my personal life, kind of where I am right now, everything's pretty smooth. Everything's going pretty solid. Like, happily married.
Yeah.
Have my house, have my dogs, got a cat. I didn't think I would like cats, but apparently I do.
Yeah. So there's actually, I didn't think I'd like cats. And I know I have three and I love them so much.
My cat's pretty, pretty solid. She just kind of chills and I love her. but it's pretty good. Right. Yeah. Like, sure, I don't have superpowers. Sure, I am not like Neo in the Matrix and I can't go like manipulating time and space and all of that. But like things are pretty solid. I think ultimately, and
but would you want to do that over and over and over and over again?
If I died tomorrow and I woke up as myself, but like baby.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of like happiness, a lot of pain, a lot of stuff that kind of happened along the way.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like things are working out, you know, like 100% what I thought I would.
Yeah. No.
Like when I was 4, I thought I would be a Ninja Turtle at this point.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, when I was.
You're slacking, Greg.
What?
I said you're slacking.
Yeah, I know, right? Jeez, I need to get a shell. I need to get all the stuff. I need to get I need a rat that knows ninjutsu. Yeah. Like I need all this stuff. I thought like when I was in college, I would be like a rock star at this point. Not that I have any musical talent whatsoever, but that was a fun little delusion that I had. And then after that, I thought I would kind of be more of a working artist and that kind of didn't really turn out so well, but like it's for the better.
Yeah. Like,
the adventures that I had along the way, the people that I've met, the person that I am now is consistent, is way different than I was 10 years ago. And that's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Like I'm intrigued by that too.
But the thing is, so here's a question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do it all over again, so if you drop dead tomorrow, right?
Yep.
And you wake up as a kid or as a baby, but you remembered everything. Is that something you would want?
Yeah, I would be okay doing it again if I remembered everything. But I feel like everybody feels that way. You know, hindsight's 20/20, as they say. But yeah, there are some things I would do differently. Not too much. Like, it's not that I would want to go and change decisions that I made. I don't really regret.
But would you get like anxious that you would do something by accident and it would like butterfly effect all out of control?
Oh, probably. I'd probably spend my life anxious about that. But there are some things that I think I would just feel differently. I think that's my main issue. Like if I could go back and I could know everything, then I would know that it's going to be okay. Or I guess I would just have a better understanding of my feelings that I didn't know as a young lass and basically be able to work my way through that better and faster or without, you know, such struggle. Just because, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I, you know, grew up in Japan and then we kind of abruptly left and it took me probably a decade to really realize the ripple effect that that has on a kid, or had on me, in fact. So I'm just kind of, I'm, you know, in my 30s now and I'm just now dealing with that. So I wish I knew now what I know back then, and then that would be great.
Well, is that right? Like more culture shock, or is it more?
Yeah, it was culture shock. And then also just, they call it being a third culture kid. There's a term for it now. There wasn't really when it first happened to me, but just knowing, you know, hey, maybe I need as a 10-year-old, because that was our home for us. That's all we had ever known, me and my sister. And then our parents didn't really know how to like properly prep us for the move, because it wasn't like child psychology was really, I feel like, just a thing that you would do unless your kid was acting out. So they kind of just didn't really know how to tell us we were leaving, except in retrospect, when I think about it, they did. They'd be like, oh, you're, you know, we're going to go home and, you know, whatever. But as a kid, I didn't know what that meant, because here's home to me. So it just confused me. And then it was like, yeah, then all of a sudden we came home, stuff is packed and we're leaving. And it's just like, yeah.
Yeah. I never had to deal with anything like that. So that always like interests me, because like I've lived a very, I'll call it like vanilla kind of life, where like I'm fortunate my parents are still together. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the same, they're still in the house that I grew up in.
Oh, cool.
Like, go there all the time.
I've wondered what that's like. Yeah. See, I can't, like, I have no idea what that's like.
It's good. It's fine. Right. It's vanilla. It's like,
I wouldn't necessarily say vanilla, because don't they use the term vanilla to be like boring.
I mean, I think it kind of, like for me it is, but it's always grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, right? Always, always. Yeah, because I'm looking at this, you still have the house that you grew up in, and there's memories to it, and that's very cool. And I don't know what that's like. So,
well, like the house itself has changed a little bit as well. Yeah. Like when I was a little kid, they put an addition on. So there was that. I was like 9 when that happened. So, and now my bedroom, or my old bedroom, is not my bedroom anymore.
Yeah. Right? But to interrupt. Do you go, when you go through the house, do you still like have memories and things of like when you were a kid? It's such a weird question to ask, but because I can't really go back to the place that I grew up. It's because it's on a military base and I can't get back in there now. So I would never be able to go back through, but I've always wondered that, because they show that in the movies, you know, so people like, go by and they have memories of, you know, when they were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that they say you can never go home is still true, even though I can physically.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause it's the layout is pretty much different. And like, I have memories. I walk into a room and be like, oh yeah, like my bed used to be there and there and there. Cause, I have two brothers. Yeah. I have one that's 2 years younger than me and one that's 11 years younger than me. So the one that's 11 years younger than me is just graduated college. So he's still kind of live with my parents, trying to figure out, he has a job, but he's still trying to figure out the next step. So he's in my old room. Okay. So I go in and he kind of like put the bed in a different place and it kind of smells a little different and the house kind of feels a little off a little bit. But then I'll walk into a room where nothing's changed, like the kitchen, and I'll be like, oh, okay. This is home, or the basement. Oh,
that must feel so strange. Cool.
That pool table is still in the same spot because no one's strong enough to move it, because it weighs a bajillion pounds. But like, they moved the dining room and living room. They switched it.
When you're a kid, or when you were a kid, did you have, because I know what you're saying when you say you can never go home.
Right.
Because there's a feeling that you get when you're a kid in your home, I think sometimes. And then whether it's, you know, either a good feeling or sometimes a bad feeling, you never get that feeling back, that home feeling, even as an adult in your own home. I haven't found that. Have you found that? Like,
the prime example is when I'm at my parents' house and I'm sitting in their TV room, right? And they have this giant entertainment center. My dad spent way too much money on this thing and it's hideous and no one likes it except him. And even the cabinets are built horribly, where it blocks the AR sensor for the stupid remote for the cable, so no one can ever turn the channel just right. And I remember that being actually smaller than it actually is. So every time I'm sitting there, I'm watching TV, I have this big thing towering over me. And I remember like when he brought it in, I was like, oh, this isn't so big. This isn't so bad. It's taking up the whole wall, BB. Like it's the whole damn thing. It's it's massive. I don't know what they're going to do if they ever move out. But like, that just feels weird. Or the fact that my parents still have, like, their dogs are 13 and 14. So they're still around, but they're a little bit, you know, they're older. They're a little bit different. The smell, it doesn't smell the same. It probably does smell the same. I just, you know.
You grow up and things change.
I have my own house that has its own smell and its own familiarity now.
No, but when you're at your house, does it feel like the home that you felt when you were a kid, you know?
No, it's different. It's different. It's that feeling never will never come back.
Yeah. So where is that? What is that feeling? Is that safety? Is that security? What is that? And why do we all collectively say we lose it and we can never get it back? I talk to so many people about this and they're like, yeah, and I don't know how to articulate it, but
I don't think, so I think when we say we lose it, I think that's not the correct term.
We just grow up.
I think we threw it away.
Oh, when you're a teenager. Yeah. Okay.
Well, tell me more about this. I don't know. Like, I can't, like, cause my life was very like 90s teen movie kind of like, you're not the boss of me. You don't know my life. Yeah. You're not cool, mom. Dad. You don't know anything. Right. Yeah. Like, never that perception of the fact that they were my age once or they were kids or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think when you go through these teenage years, you don't want that safety. You want to go off on your own. You don't want to go to the movies with your mom anymore. Yeah. I didn't. You want to go with your friends. So you're venturing out. You're further and further away. And for me, it was when I went to college is where I think I threw it away.
Wow.
So I went to college. I conveniently went someplace that was a 3.5-hour, 4-hour drive away from my house.
Yeah. Purposely.
Purposely, because it was too far for my parents to come bother me on a consistent basis, but just close enough. So where my much younger brother, if something happened or if I wanted to go see him, I could do that because he's so much younger than me. Like, I kind of have like, he's my brother, sure. But I almost have this kind of like, I feel like I had a training to have a kid.
Yes.
Like hands-on. I was an internship parent.
Yeah.
Is what it kind of feels like.
How is the age difference? How big is the age difference between you and your younger brother, if you don't mind me asking?
Me and my youngest brother is 11 years.
11 years. Okay. So yeah. I have like a 12 and a 15 year gap between my younger sister. So I 100% felt like I was also an intern parent.
Yeah.
My mom had both of them when I was still in high school. Okay. And the first one when I was a freshman. So man, I remember exams with screaming baby the night before and up to like 3 or 4 a.m. and then having to wake up and then go write an exam. And I remember thinking to myself, this is the best birth control because no one's gonna. Yeah. I just remember thinking that and like, oh, and I feel like I know how much work and energy it is. I was also able to say, no, I definitely don't want kids, you know, particularly right now, especially because I'm so career focused. Like right now I want to work on what I want to work on. And I realized that there is give when you have, you know, when you have a family and I don't want to put myself in the situation where I have to choose between that.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like, again, like where my fear kind of stems is because right now we're kind of in the talks of maybe having a kid at some point. And I know that once that happens, it's not my movie anymore, right? It's not my story. It's the kid's story.
Yeah.
And I know that because I had this like training, right? I've made the mistakes. I fed the kid peanut butter and jelly with orange juice by accident. And that did not end well.
Yeah.
I forgot to dilute the chicken noodle soup with water. And that did not end well. I mean, I was fine. I don't know what his problem was, but I ate it just fine. And it's just kind of like I go through this house and I remember things a little bit differently, you know?
Yeah.
One room still gives me the creeps though. There's one room in my parents' house that just gives me the damn creeps. Yeah.
Okay. I love like ghost stories and the unexplained. So please tell me about this creepy room in the house.
It's nothing I can ever, like nothing ever happened there.
Yeah, but it still creeps you out.
The layout of my parents' house, the first floor, the bedrooms are on the second floor. The stairs going up is right next to the dining room. And that's the room when all the lights are out and the shades are pulled. It's just black. It's
like
nothing.
Looking into the abyss. No, thank you.
So what I used to do, there's another way to get to the stairs. You could actually go through the kitchen and then go through a little hallway and then go up the stairs that way.
Yeah.
The problem is my parents have such an old house that if you want hot water while taking a shower or a bath, you have to turn up the heat.
Okay.
And where that dial is, right in the dining room.
No, it's in that spooky.
It's in the spooky dining room, right?
No.
So instead of like turning on the light, turning up the heat, turning off the light, and going up the stairs, I would do this weird maneuver where I would go through the kitchen, reach around, feel for the dial, turn it, and I knew just how much to turn it because I would listen for the heat to kick on.
Yeah.
and then stop and then book it up the stairs.
Yep.
Every time.
I feel that. I feel like we can all relate to that because there's always been either a room or just somewhere that creeped us out where we just had to dart past it and not.
Yeah. And like, just don't look in there. Don't make eye contact with whatever is in there.
If there's anything. Oh God.
Just move just and you're move. Fine. I remember when I was like super young, I used to just like say, cause I was really afraid of ghosts when I was super young. Yeah. And I still like for me, ghosts are reassuring. Because it's something else. There's something else after this. Right. Yeah. So that just gives me comfort now. But as a kid, I would just stand there and like stare at the closet and be like, if there's something in there, just don't come out tonight. Like, I don't want to hear you. And then finally, I think at one point when I was a little bit older, I was just like, you know what? If there's something in here, go get me some Cheez-Its.
Do you say that out loud? Because I do that and I've never met anybody else that speaks out loud like that.
I used to.
Okay. I still do it anymore.
Because I don't have that feeling. Like I haven't had that, like except for at my parents' house, but like anywhere else, like I haven't really had it quite like that. My buddy Dave, who says, like he says his house is haunted and I believe him. I stayed at his place one night and like I wasn't creeped out. Was it was just kind of like whatever. But if I get creeped out enough or freaked out enough, I will take that kind of sing-song tone with what I'm saying.
I noticed you did that in your playthrough. I watched a little bit of your playthrough and you would sing a bit, which I also do when I'm nervous or scared or trying to fill space. I will sing what I'm saying. It's funny because I in my apartment, luckily, because it's so small, I don't really have that issue anymore. But in the old house that I used to be in that was like three floors, I would occasionally I walk around in the dark. That's another thing about being a workaholic. I don't know if you do this, but I work in the day, don't need lights. And then all of a sudden it's nighttime and I can't be bothered to stand up and turn the light on. So oftentimes, you know, people, you know, either walk by or, you know, come in and just be like, why are you working in the dark? Why are you sitting here in the dark? What's wrong with you? And I'm just like, oh, I just forgot. I just never turned the light on. But yeah, in my old house, I would walk around and sometimes in the, you know, dark, scary moments, I would just say out loud, like, if you're here, just murder me. Just get it over with. Just fucking do it. Yeah. I can't stand here and be scared anymore. Just kill me.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then of course, nothing ever happens.
No. Yeah. I mean, there's a point where it's in your mind, but there's also a point where it's not. And I think that sometimes it's justified, right? Like you have a feeling and sometimes it's not just because you got yourself psyched up. Sometimes it could be external forces. I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, so like, I'm kind of weird too, because like, full disclosure, I totally listen to like ghost story podcasts while I'm trying to sleep. It just like lulls.
Oh my God. I listen to My Favorite Murder and murdery podcasts before I go to bed. And I didn't think I used to also watch Unsolved Mysteries as well.
Yeah.
We cannot play that song. I don't know why. I just cued the Unsolved Mysteries theme. We cannot use it. I started to and then realized my huge mistake. So yeah, I will. And I didn't think anything was weird. Until my husband was like, you know, this is a good thing to watch before bed. You know, like you must have horrible nightmares. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. But then that night I'm laying there, he's sound asleep and Unsolved Mysteries is going and it's talking about some girl who was like kidnapped and, you know, murdered and left on the side of the road. And I'm like, why am I watching this right before bed? Yeah. You know what?
Yeah. Sometimes it like helps and sometimes it hurts. Right.
Yeah.
Like listening. I remember hearing about the Black Eyed Kids for the first time and I'm just laying there like, what the fuck is this?
So tell the listeners who might not know what that is.
Oh, Black Eyed Kids. Oh man. I'm sorry if this freaks everyone out. So Black Eyed Kids are essentially children that kind of follow the rule of vampires. So they're tiny children. They're wearing clothes that are from last century. They're speaking that are last century. Their eyes are completely black and they ask to come inside to use, they never say the phone. Mm-hmm. They always say like your rotary phone or your telephone or your, like it's always off. There's something off about them. And you never notice their eyes until it's too late.
What do you mean it's too late?
So like it's, like you'll see like, oh, this is like a weird kid. And like your instinct is like, oh, it's a kid. Like, yeah, you're lost. Like it's probably midnight, 1 a.m. Like, please come in off the street.
See, I'm a psychopath. I would not think that. I would think that some murderous bastard is in the bushes waiting for this kid to be let into my house. And then they're going to come out and kill me. Yeah, well, I'm a psycho. It could be that too, I'm terrified.
But that's what these like beings kind of prey off of is the opposite. It's like, please come in. And like they come in. lights go out, things start blinking, and then just like bad stuff happens to you or your loved ones something.
Like, is that this like something people talk about? Because I'm like on the fence. I don't think I believe in ghosts and whatnot. So, but those of you listening who maybe are just now getting introduced to Deep Dive, I'm going to point you in the description to another episode where two of our guests talk about ghost stories, and I just don't know what to do with myself because it's insane. But yeah, anyway, I'm not so sure how I feel about it yet. So when I hear stories like this, I don't know how to react. So what, people put these on forums, or is there evidence basically?
Well, is there ever really evidence for things like this? Not really. Cause like everything can be disputed. It can be debunked.
Yeah. Right? And like, I guess I'm waiting for the one thing that can't be debunked.
But I think even if that happens, someone's going to be like, oh, that's Photoshopped.
But see, you can tell when a photo's been tampered with. Like, there's usually evidence of that, like, I guess.
I don't know. Like, I always have that kind of fear of like something's going to happen and then you try to prove it. Or like the big thing, right, with ghosts or any paranormal stuff is, oh, everything just fails. Electronics just fail. The lights go out, the power goes out, everything gets sucked because like they draw in energy is kind of what they say.
Yeah.
For me, I love these stories. I'm like Mulder. I want to believe, but like, I'm not like 100% sold, but just hearing even just the creativity behind these things.
Yeah.
Because Black Eyed Kids also, like, they're kind of described as tourists. So like someone who like popped into this reality for like a second and was like, oh, this is what people look like in the 1900s, and then came now. And now they're kind of like that.
So we should probably also get back to the game a little bit. Yeah. it kind of works because the time thing, they play with time a little bit in this game as well.
They do. So like when I first started playing, I was like, oh, I'm clearly jumping to and from different times.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess, sure, you are. I don't know if you watched or played the demo.
I didn't. I like to play everything like blind playthrough the first time.
So there's something that's called the Walter test case.
Oh, interesting.
And I heard of it and I didn't play it. I looked it up and I watched a playthrough because I just couldn't find it on Steam or anything.
Yeah.
And it's a demo, but it's a completely different story. So what it's like the beta test for what the father eventually creates.
Wow.
Which is when you kind of think about the beginning of Transference and all of the all of the lost people posters. Like, have you seen this person? Have you seen this dog? Yeah. It makes a lot more sense kind of what happened.
Yeah.
So the Walter test case is he maps this other guy's mind into this platform and he has people go through it to make sure if it's safe or not. And this person, whose name was Walter, suffered from PTSD.
Mm.
So you would go through the same kind of rooms and it's very similar to what Transference is, except for it's a completely different person who also had a kid who he kind of forgot about because he was kind of trapped in his own debilitating experiences. So you solve it and there's a jump scare and it's kind of implies that you die at the end. The character dies. Whew. And it kind of goes along with the intro movie for the Walter test case where the father is just kind of like, oh yeah, this is safe. Safe-ish.
Just sign here. Don't read it.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Like, this is fine. This is the revolutionary breakthrough, and you're at the ground level. The problem is being at the ground level of a revolutionary breakthrough usually ends in death, at least in sci-fi.
Yeah.
Right. So, I had a thought kind of about the timeline of all of this, kind of while we're speaking of time.
Tell me about it.
So, there's a point where the father's kind of taking his time a little bit with this project. He's engulfed, but there's no, like, I have to get it solved at this point, right? And then in the middle of the game, he suddenly starts to feel a lot more rushed. And I don't know if it's because he's closer to a breakthrough, or I kind of had a theory is, what if Catherine, who's the mom, what if she killed herself?
Oh, wow.
And that was the rush against time, because he was trying to figure out how to, like, slow the brain down. Right. If you're like, when you go into the garage, you watch the video and he's like, oh yeah, like, I have to figure out this moving too fast. It's like hitting a moving target. If only I could slow this down.
Yeah. But didn't he killed somebody else, didn't he?
He killed the dog for sure.
I know he killed the dog.
He killed the dog.
But then he killed a random person.
He did.
Too. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's where the frustration comes from with him being like, it's just not fast enough and I'm not able to get it working. But also, I'm pretty sure she asked for a divorce. She was like, I'm leaving. So that I think was the fire under his ass. Yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
And there's that. And there was like the, yeah, there was the letters where it was just like, oh, you have to get out of there and all of that. The shadow being too. Oh, I like jumping around.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Absolutely. Like, we'll talk about whatever comes up. But yeah, I think the shadow being is very interesting because I also do think it's him. And I think that it can be a couple of different things. I think it can be him, just plain him. But I also think it can be obsession. And I also think it can be transference. It can literally be their feelings of their domestic abuser, that presence in the house that used to scare the kid every night. And she'd have to come in and comfort him and whatnot. And now it's real. They've transferred it into this monster.
I didn't think of that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think.
Because I had another theory where it's just them bleeding between the lines.
Yeah.
That's why, like, when you're in Benji's mind, essentially, there are some points where the monster is really scary, and there's other points where the monster is, like, embracing him.
Oh.
So I thought, like, the points where, like, if you look at the wall drawings, I paid particular attention to those, because those are, like, those little things that I love. Ever since I played Portal 1, I always pay attention to drawings on walls in games, because they always like expand my mind a little bit to try to like figure out what caused him to draw the same monster being really scary.
Yeah.
And then hugging him and holding him in almost a motherly embrace.
See, now that to me is also some abuse, because it's not all, I mean, sometimes it is, but it's not always all bad. And that's what makes it so hard to leave an abusive situation like that, especially for wife and or for kid to try to understand. Dad is really nice sometimes, but other times he's not great at all. So that's intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I thought it could be, it could just be the system trying to preserve the memories.
You're a third party entity. That's neat.
Mucking things around, right? Like you were literally solving puzzles and unlocking doors that you should not be going through.
Yeah. And then it's trying to stop you from doing that. Man, they did some of those jump scares so well. Also, I gotta just mention this because I really love that they did this. So for me, that surreal speculative stuff is my jam. And they did it so well, like going up the stairs and then you turn around and the light's off. Wait, was the light off?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it on? Did I turn it on? Did I turn it off? Like, I love that stuff. I love that stuff of not knowing. Yeah. Of not knowing what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, that's part of the joy of this game for me too, is at some point when you're in a mother's memory, you turn off the light, you turn it back on and everything is upside down and you're just like, what is what?
Yeah.
Huh? And then you have to find the button, you have to find the other light switch and it's in a drawer that's upside down.
That part pissed me off so badly. I was so confused. I was like, what am I supposed to be doing?
I kept on opening the door to the right of it.
Yeah, like, I think I did too. Minutes. Yeah. And then I think somebody said like the ceiling or something. And I kept looking up, but I couldn't figure it out. And then it ended up being stuck in a drawer, but I had to like trigger the drawer just right. Yeah.
Yeah. I went back and looked for that button and it wasn't there.
Ooh.
So that's the first thing I was like, wonder, like, if I were a game dev and that button was still there, that would have been a really cool Easter egg to have something in there.
Yeah.
Was my thought. It's like, let's find it. Like, let's see. And it just didn't show back up.
It's not there. All right.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool. So that like kind of messes with that. The whole infinite staircase was really cool, especially because they allude to it right before you enter it.
Yep.
Because there's that painting there. And there's this like being that's just messing with you the whole time. Like, don't go here. Can go here. You shouldn't see this. Pay no attention to the man behind the door. The dog jumps out at you a couple times, which scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, it did. Me too.
And I was like, where did that go? And I immediately looked to see where he went and he was just gone.
I think there's this one part where you kind of step out into the hallway and you hear it barking and see like that dark thing come running towards you. Yeah. And yeah, that scared me pretty badly.
Oh yeah. And
I think I had to walk away for a minute.
I tried to dodge the dog.
Like, no, see, okay, I do that too. When stuff happens to me, I just drop the controller and I freak out. I just can't move. It happens a lot. You know, monsters will come at me, but they'll scare me so badly that my immediate reaction is to just sit in a hole and like let them kill me and let this moment be over. And then I'll retry again with my head screwed on straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't. Like, fight or flight, apparently I am a coward.
It takes a lot. See, I freeze is my thing.
Yeah, me too.
I'm for the most part, at least I like to think so. Although rewatching my own VOD, I'm kind of like, maybe I'm not this way. like usually it takes a little bit to kind of get me going.
Yeah.
Jump scares are kind of cheap, but like they're there. They're fun. They get your heart going and they get your mind racing. Generally, I can see those coming. Like in Dead Space, I can see those coming.
Oh, I'm I can see them sometimes.
Yeah.
I can be like, something's going to jump out at me, isn't it? But then when they don't do it, it's almost more effective for me. Because I am my own worst enemy. So if you have me sitting on edge and I'm like, something's going to jump out at me and then nothing jumps out, I'm like, oh, stop being so paranoid, PB, you know, and then boom, and then something jumps out and I'm like, son of a, you know,
those don't get me specifically because God. I'm like, there's nothing here. I'm going to turn around and there's going to be something.
Yeah.
And I prep myself and it's there and I'm fine. I can't remember what game. One game got me really bad because it played the long game. Played the long Kong on me, essentially.
Where it was so just kind of like, nothing. And then finally something was there.
Oh yeah, but it was like 10 minutes later. I was like, I know this hallway. There's nothing here. Boom.
Ooh. I love it when they do that. I love it when they do that.
I love that. I love horror games specifically because they teach you a lesson about yourself or about
That's interesting.
Reality or your civilization or whatever.
Yeah, that's, I think that's why I like narrative games as well.
Yeah.
Because there's something to learn either about yourself or somebody else. Or, I mean, that's why that's why the deep dive exists, is because we get to talk about it. And, you know, there is no right or wrong answer. You know, we just like talking about how it made us feel and diving into that murkiness that sometimes is the human condition. And it's great.
Yeah. I think it's also not a coincidence that the majority of the games that are on the deep dive are horror-esque.
Yeah.
Except for one of them.
Maybe really? Two. Were they Four all
brothers?
Horror?
Brothers?
The Brothers? I actually could not listen to that episode because I haven't played the game yet. So and Everly talked about that game, but I wasn't able to listen to it.
I listened to it and I have it, but this is one of like the hundreds of games that I have that I probably will never play. So
yeah, I mean, I guess Soma was. Oxenfree is considered a horror game. I wouldn't consider the Stanley Parable a horror game.
I mean, it can be a nightmare.
Yeah, I guess so. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture is technically a walking simulator. It's not really a horror game. Life is Strange isn't a horror game.
That's fair.
There we go. So
four of them.
So two or three.
I guess maybe the ones that I only listened to recently are all of them.
But you're right. You're right. The rest of them have a little bit of a horror aspect to them. Even Rumu, which starts out super cute. Yeah, that game gets pretty dark pretty fast. So
yeah. I mean, like there's something about like horror and like dark humor and drama, like not dramas, but like thrillers that like they say something about, I think, our reality and our civilizations that you can't really say otherwise. And it can be something as simple as, you know, Friday the 13th, where like premarital sex is bad in that world because everyone who has it dies usually.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like Twilight Zone-y, right? Where you have an entire civilization goes away and all the one thing this guy cares about is his glasses are broken and he can't do what he wants now.
Yeah. We love mystery, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We love to solve things and we love the unexplained.
Even if we interject our own personal biases in to completely warp something around.
Do you think that's why we actually like mystery? So that we can solve it? Because we know there's things that we cannot solve in our real lives? Like, so, we know there are things there are not answers to. So we enjoy mystery novels and things because those have an answer usually at the end.
Those usually have an answer at the end. And if not, you can kind of piece it together.
Yeah, you can solve it yourself and be like, okay, there's an answer here. And then you just kind of forget that there are things in life that we don't have answers for.
Well, I think mystery also tends to build communities.
Yeah.
Like Lost, when that was a big thing.
Oh my God, I loved Lost. Wait, I think did you like Lost too?
What's that?
Did you like it too?
I loved Lost.
Okay. Are you one of the ones that liked the end or?
No.
I did not also. Okay. So I can admit that I didn't like the end. I was also late to Lost. So I feel like a lot of people gave me a lot of shit when I was like, I don't like the end. Mm.
I got in maybe around the second or third season. So I binged up until there and then I had to watch it weekly, like a regular schmuck.
Yeah.
And that was excruciating going week to week.
Oh man.
But yeah, no, I hated the ending. But like, I think part of the joy of Lost and a lot of other J.J. Abrams like creations are the fact that they give you these breadcrumb trails to follow.
Yeah.
You can form your own opinion. You can go onto these forums. You can mix and match what you like. And the ending is never going to be as good as what's in your mind, period. Yeah. But that's not the point of it. In my opinion, the point of Lost wasn't the ending.
Yeah.
The point of Lost was the relationships you build around it and expanding your mind to think differently.
Have you ever seen a documentary called The Jejun Institute?
No.
I'm going to recommend that you watch that.
Yes.
Yes.
You'll have to tell me how that's spelled.
Oh, yeah. It's J-A-J-U-N-E. And so for those of you listening who like mystery, it's a documentary about an alternate reality game that people didn't realize they were playing. It was, yeah, it's super interesting. And that's all I'm going to say on it.
Okay.
It's totally worth watching. And absolutely, if you love mystery and if you like Lost, it's very intriguing to see this documentary.
Yeah.
But yeah. Are there any other things that you'd like to talk about with Transference before we wrap up for the day?
One last Shadow Man.
Yeah.
Theory.
Shadow Man.
This just popped in my head. That's what I'm calling him, Shadow Man.
Yeah.
Do you think it could be the father trying to preserve the memory instead of the system?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
That was my kind of last little thing. Technological immortality.
Yep. He has it. And now he just wants to preserve it. 100%. Yeah. I think that that's absolutely.
Well, what do you think of the ending, since we're ending?
I think that what I liked about it is that it felt like, okay, this is the ultimate transference. I understand now why they named it that way, because I feel like all of the feelings that they have done and they experienced have now been transferred to me, the player. Mm-hmm. But it did make me sad that the son and wife were trapped there with him and he murdered them and like treated them poorly. So it made me feel sad that they were trapped there forever. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget Leica.
Of course. I won't forget the dog, but
she's not even intact either.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah, it's just, but also at the same time, I don't need a happy ending. I don't want games to give me a happy ending all the time.
Sure.
So
yeah. I think you need the bitter endings and the not happy endings to appreciate the happy endings. Like, life is a balance for me.
Yeah.
You can't have the good without the bad. If you had all good, then suddenly the not so good would be bad.
Exactly. You can't have the sweet without the sour. Yeah. What did you think of the ending?
I didn't want it to end. I thought it was very quick. Mostly,
I did think it was a quick game too.
Yeah. I was like, man, I think I beat it in 2 hours.
Yeah,
and
you
then
did.
I played the beginning over again.
No,
just to be sure.
Yeah, because you beat it and then played the beginning again, and that was 2 hours. That whole thing with that, I think, was 2 hours.
Yeah, I had to replay it again, because whenever you beat a game or anything like that where you're really thinking the whole time, you have to go watch the beginning again.
Yeah,
just to see what you missed.
Yeah,
and I totally missed a couple things that I'm glad I replayed. I think that as a player, I don't think you make it out of there alive. I think you die at the end.
Yeah, and I think that. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I think I would agree with that. Yeah,
I agree with everything you said, plus
you're also stuck. Yeah,
like your transference all those emotions and all those point of views, you can't, like a human being can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't retain that. That's not possible.
Oh, man.
Like, that's, you can be empathetic, but you can't have three different point of views of the same thing. They interfere with each other.
Yeah.
And that's just, you'll go insane.
That's nuts to think about.
Right?
Yeah. I remember feeling like it was short. I remember feeling like it was incredible for a first release, but it could have been refined. I did feel like it was, some stuff was pretty handed to me and I don't necessarily need it to be. But other than that, like, the sound design alone was just absolutely incredible. They did a really good, and they did the whispering so well. Like, I remember at one point I was nervous and there was whispering going from left ear to right ear, and I just remember I kept telling chat because I was playing it live, and I kept saying, like, you guys don't know, like, I don't know if you're listening with, you know, surround sound on right now with your headphones, but you need to be, because it's going here to here and I don't know what I'm hearing. And then I think a couple of times I heard something like it was coming from behind me, and it freaked me out so badly I had to check behind me. Yeah. I had to take a lot of breaks during this game because the sound design was so good, and I'm particularly very sensitive to good sound stuff. Like, sound scares me more than visual, because my imagination is like insane. But yeah, so hearing even a knock at the door can freak me out versus.
I think sound is the biggest tool horror can use.
100%. I agree with that. 100%. I agree with that. Especially just for me as a person. Like if I, and I've had this happen before, you know, where I've seen like a shadowy figure in the distance or something like that. Like I remember I was with a group of friends and we were teenagers at the time. And I forget where we were walking from, but we were walking from a cabin somewhere where this is like small town in the middle of nowhere. Okay. And then one of our friends stops and goes, "Do you see that person? Is that a person standing there just like watching us?" And then everybody was like, "Oh my God, that's a person." And everybody started freaking out a little bit because it was just like standing there looking at us. Mm. And I didn't hear anything in the woods. They're just standing there. So I start walking towards it and they're like, "What are you doing? You know, Peebs, what are you doing?" And then, and it looked like a person, but then I got closer and I realized it was a fucking tree. It was a pine tree. So I was like, "Guys, it's a tree. Calm down, you know." But just because it was different, it wasn't as tall as it was like a newer tree. So yeah, it was just, but it's funny how your mind can play tricks on, because I also thought it was a person. I thought for sure it was a person, but I kept saying it's standing too still to be a person. So I have to walk forward and figure out what it is. Now, had there been sounds happening, I would have been out.
That's it. Yeah. Yep,
That's it. That's all it takes for me.
Something whispering in your ears. Yep. Like, "Come closer."
Yeah. No, I would have been fucked. Nope. I would have just a right no. Thank you. Nope.
Or like, "Don't look behind that wall."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh," for me though, in a game, that makes me kind of want to look behind the wall.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know how I feel about obviously spoken dialogue in a game like that. Like, you know, whispering, "Don't look there," or whatever. But what I did like that they did was, I'm pretty sure some of the dialogue was dialogue you find later. And or conversations that were being said, and you're just overhearing it at that particular moment. Or like
singing happy birthday in the beginning.
Yeah.
And there's no one around and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But it's because it's their memory of the happy birthday thing. Yeah. I really like what they chose to put in and the sounds they chose for that. Yeah. It was really, really good in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Sound design was great.
Sound was absolutely
acting was really well done in my opinion. Kind of wish Elijah Wood was in it as an actor, but that was just me.
I'm curious to see what they come up with next, to be honest. Like, if this was their first one, I want to see what they're going to come up with.
It was very polished, for sure. Like, it wasn't, besides the notable glitches that were supposed to be in there, nothing else glitched out for me. Like, it didn't crash.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues either. I didn't play it in VR, though, so I realized it was, you know, supposed to be this big VR thing, so I'm not sure.
I might, because I have my Rift just like staring.
You should totally do that. 100%. I mean, you don't want to sleep tonight, right?
Yeah. Who needs sleep? Not me.
Who needs sleep? No one needs sleep.
Chumps. Sleep is for chumps. That's the moral of the episode. Sleep is for chumps. Listen to scary things while you go to sleep. Play scary VR games before you even think about going to sleep.
God, it's so good. anyway, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know this has been like at least a year in the making having you come on the show. So yeah, thank you so much. Do you want to let everybody know where they can find you?
Yeah, you can totally find me on Twitch, on Twitter, on Instagram. Booster Greg is my handle on all those places. You can also find me at the Bad Coyote Funky podcast. We do that live on Twitch.
So
@BadCoyoteFunky, 10 p.m. on Thursday. And I kind of want to just make a little bit of announcement. I do have another podcast.
Yes, coming. Please do this because this is very exciting. Yes.
So I have a new podcast coming up. It is called, well, let me tell you what it is first, before I tell you what it's called.
Yeah.
I am joined by a different co-host every week, kind of, or every other week, much like you are here. And we read a DC comic story arc and we watch the animated movie that was adapted from it.
Oh,
there's
cool.
going to be fun with reenacting what was in the comic. It's going to be great.
That's awesome. That sounds super geeky.
I cannot
Where can people
wait.
Find it?
It is going to be on Apple Podcasts. It is going to be called Adapt This, a DC Animated Movie Podcast.
Yes, Adapt This. That's lovely. That's perfect. Okay. And of course, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. I think welcome to Deep Dive Season 2. I cannot wait. We do have a couple of announcements. The first one is that when we first released Deep Dive Season 1, we did it weekly. We are switching Season 2 to be bi-weekly. However, that will enable us to go without any breaks. So the only break we will have is our yearly December break. So welcome back to the Deep Dive. And I'm so happy that you joined us today. The Deep Dive podcast is brought to you by PBTV. That's me. And you can find us at deepdivecast.com, as well as on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. If you like what you hear, please consider rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. And you can also become a patron of the show by visiting us at deepdivecast.com/support. Patrons receive various perks like monthly black and white wallpapers, high quality versions of each episode, bonus episode content, and of course, the knowledge that you directly are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. See you next time, divers.
The Deep Dive is part of the Geek Generation Network. Check out all our podcasts at thegeekgeneration.com.
The Deep Dive podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.